It's not every day that we finish up a study, and that's what we're doing this morning, Galatians chapter 4. But it is kind of rare sometimes that we actually finish a study on the last day of the month. I mean, really, the last day of the month. And it's very rare that we finish a study on the last day of a year. And it's really the last day of a year. But Galatians 4 is where we've been looking, and in some ways, the more I began looking at it, I recognized that there's probably no more fitting lesson for us to think about than our position with God, our relationship with God, what God has done for us. And for sure, sometimes with days fleeting so by, we turn our heads and someone sprays our calendar with WD-40 and all of a sudden it's gone. It's flew by. And we reflect on what we've been through and what we're going through and the uncertainties about what the coming days will have, the coming year will have. But I think there's nothing more important for us, especially as believers, to recognize just how important it is to focus on our unchanging God. And no matter what we've been through, no matter what we anticipate, no matter what we look forward to, no matter what we dread, there is nothing more important than to be holding His hand and with confidence face tomorrow. In Galatians chapter 4, you'll recall our passages that we're looking at, begin in verse 4, where Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, when we've been looking at these passages and recognizing that clearly what Paul is presenting is the fact that God had always had a plan, always had a sense of purpose in sending Christ. There's a reason why He was born as a man. There's a reason why He was born under the law. And the purpose was to redeem us, but also we want to remind ourselves today it was in order that we might become sons. And really what He's reminding us is that we are children of God, and that opportunity for us to recognize what it means to have that God has placed us in His family, placed us in a relationship as a child of His. If you back up into chapter 3 again, verse 26, He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, what He does for us is remind us how we became a son of God, how we became a child of God. It was through Christ. And putting on Christ through baptism is God in His love, delivered us from a life dedicated to the world to a life that's dedicated to Him. And He removed all barriers. Didn't matter if you was Jew or Greek. Didn't matter if you was male or female. It didn't matter if you were free or slave. You have that opportunity to be adopted by God and become a son of God. He'll continue by just talking about the way life was in the Roman setting when He began chapter 4, where He began saying, "I'm going to say to you that as an heir, as long as one is a child, they do not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." And you see what Paul is doing is focusing these believers' eyes on God as the Father. And he makes comparison here between the life as a son versus the life of a servant. And that's especially true of us with our relationship with God. That as son, we can look at God as our Father. As a slave, you look at a master. When you recognize as a son, you've got a future. You've got hope. As a slave, you have no future. your life is really empty as far as a sense of prosperity in looking at it. As a son, you are rich. As a slave, you are poor. And his focus is for them to see God. And I want us to remind about where our place is because of this spiritual adoption that God purposed for us to accomplish through Jesus Christ. I think Paul will talk a great deal about it when he wrote to the Church of Christ in Ephesus. Look over at chapter 2 in that epistle that follows this epistle in our Bibles, where he begins talking about the meaning of adoption. Now, keep in mind what individuals that were students of God's Word had in their thinking about adoption. We think about adoption as being a legal process where you can take a child that has a different mother and a different father, and legally you can take that child and you can become their father, you can become their mother, and you bring them into your family, and they receive all rights and all privileges as being part of the family. The word adoption is not used when you go back into Exodus and you look at what happened to Moses and Pharaoh's daughter. But that's really an adoption process, isn't it? To where as a Hebrew, at that time, all other children, 2 years and below, were being put to death. And that remarkable providence that God gave with Moses in that particular floating device for Pharaoh to see him and fall in love with a child and literally bring him into her home and become his mother and raise him up in the palace. They also were familiar with the fact that God chose Israel as his adopted country, as his adopted nation. And he'll remind them, when you get into the promised land, you're going to think real big of yourselves as if you were really special because I adopted you. But don't. I chose you. And so they also knew they had adopted. But here, he's talking about a spiritual adoption. Chapter 2, verse 19, he talks about what are the exceeding greatness of his power. In verse 19, he says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." When you're talking about adoption, you're talking about placing someone in the role as a son. Here, he's reminding them that God placed them in his household. And he's become their father. And at one time, they were, well, their status was they were outsiders. They were not in the household of God. And he describes that as a setting to where you were like a stranger and you were a foreigner. But now he could say that because he's largely talking about Gentiles. They were not followers of Moses and the law of God. They were not followers of the ways of the people of Israel. They were outside of any sense of being in a status with God. He said that's where you were. And there were barriers there for that, but there are no more barriers anymore. When we're thinking about spiritual adoption, it's important for us to recognize that we shouldn't be putting up barriers for individuals to be placed in the household of God. It doesn't matter about the age. It doesn't matter about intelligence. It doesn't matter about their social status. It doesn't matter about their race. It doesn't matter whether we have all things in common or not. God has created this spiritual adoption by His choice through Jesus Christ that we can be placed in the household of God. And to be his child. John 1, verse 12, as the apostle was beginning his gospel, he says, "But as many as received him," talking about Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, notice what he's reminding us is that the beginning of this adoption process is believing in Jesus. It is understanding that that's the pathway to becoming a son of God. Paul said in Galatians, we believed in Jesus and we put on Christ through baptism. We identified with him. But he reminds us that this adoption was not based on the fact that we were born into it. It's not based on the fact that I chose it. It's not a fact that someone else created this mechanism. The fact is we were born of God. And that we were born of God through Christ. And being born again, we become His child. It's also important for us to be reminded about the means of this adoption. Now, by that, look at chapter 1. That's where I drifted off to. Chapter 1, as he begins this epistle, and he talks about where God has created a place for us. He says this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, we could talk a great deal about what blessings we have in Christ, and I'm going to tell you, we need to talk about it. Chances are, this time of the year, probably still thinking about last week and the week before that, We've perhaps focused on blessings and where we have blessing related to our family. We need to talk more about the blessings that we have being in the household of God and recognizing the riches that we have because God has placed us there. God has given us that opportunity. And what He's reminding us here is our means of adoption is totally because of God. And what God has done for us has opened the door for us through His plan that began before creation with a purpose. And what was that plan? Well, it was to be in Christ, through Christ, abiding in Christ, living in Christ. That was the plan. And the plan was such to where it's always been that way before Moses ever floated into the presence of Pharaoh's daughter, before God ever chose Israel. He had determined that in Christ we could become a son of His. We could become a child of His. And also we had a purpose. And that purpose is that we'd be like Him. How should we be like God? Well, it says we should be holy. We should live our lives free of blame. And what we want to do is we'll become in the likeness of God. We want to demonstrate that we are His child, and so His nature becomes our nature. But He also says it's not just pursuing this life of holiness, but it's also recognizing that we are individuals that are placed there by God so that we might be, look at verse 6, accepted. Accepted. Isn't that one of the great blessings about family life? His family knows that there are times that we don't have it all together. Family knows that there are times in which we don't have all of those things. You know, when you start thinking about reaching out and kind of having a relationship with somebody else and spending your life with somebody else, and you start getting to know their family and they get to know you, and then you get together and somewhere along the line that new family that's kind of got a picture about this one that's showing up for meals and this one that's showing up to be kind, they just talk about just how wonderful and how perfect and just, oh, they can't wait to get them into their family. You know, the worst thing you can do is be around brothers and sisters, you know, because they're ready to tell you how far from perfect they are. But they have accepted. God has placed us in a place where we are accepted in the Beloved. God knows we're not perfect. God knows we don't have all the answers about our life and have everything in charge like we would like. But because we are His child, and it was His purpose to put us there, that we are accepted by Him. In Revelation 21, verse 6, there Jesus gives encouragement to those that are suffering by saying, and He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be what? I will be his God. He shall be my son. And that's what he did through Jesus Christ. That's what he did in being our Redeemer. That's what he did when the time was right. He sent Jesus. So we might not continue our life on the outside, but we might find our place that God purposed for us. And that is for us to have a place at His table. Not only now, but throughout His eternal plans for us. I think when we recognize that we become part of a family and God wants us to become part of His family, there are certain things that we do that we respond to being put in that blessed position. That there is changes in our lives that will continue. I would take this verse that I want to look at with you, 1 John chapter 3, and challenge you as you begin a new year to spend more time thinking about the first thing that he says here. I'm looking at verse 1, 1 John 3. I want to read more, but let me pause here when he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." You know what he's saying there? He's saying it in a way in which I should have read it with a lot more emphasis. He's saying, just stop and think how amazing it is that God loves us. You know, I've heard people say, they're recognizing they need Jesus, recognizing they need a Savior, recognizing there needs to be a change in their life, and that right now they're not living for Him, and that one day it's their intent. They may say something like this, I just can't believe that God would love even me. And you know, I would tell you my response to that is I can't believe He loves any of us. I can't believe what He did through Jesus Christ, that there is a one of us that deserve His love. And when He says this, no matter what you've been through this past year and what disappointments you may have and what victories you may have, and maybe we're approaching this year, this new year, like we approached years in the past, I just hope it's better. Well, no matter what's happened to you in the past year, you just think what it's like to be in a position to where God has surrounded you with people that you love. And that they love you. And how easy it is to take that for granted. We take the love of God for granted. How out of the world it is that God would demonstrate His love for us. But He says, therefore the world doesn't know us. Because they don't know God. They don't know love. They don't understand how God demonstrated His love through Jesus. We do. But He says in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we see Him as He is." Look at verse 3. "And everyone who has this hope in Him," this hope in Him. You cannot approach a new year without this hope in you. And that hope is that because we are children of God, Jesus is coming again, and there are things about it that we don't know, and there are things about it we don't understand, but what we know is when He is revealed, then all glory and the full adoption will be completed. We know that, and we're living for that. But He says this again, "Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." That's my response. Is I want to be free of sin. I don't want to continue in sin. I want to follow the path that my Father wants me to follow. I want to become the child. I want to become that one in His household that He demonstrated His love. I want to be pleasing to Him. So I want to learn more about His nature. I want to learn more and become one with Him. I want to honor Him. I want to praise Him. I want my life to be such to where He can recognize me as a child. And see, I understand that sometimes we may live for God out of fear about what He sees in our life. That's not His intent for His children. His intent for His children is to love Him back and want to become more like Jesus who He sent. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Being adopted spiritually through Jesus Christ and and seeing Christ as what one of the inspired writers said as the firstborn over sons. You know, ultimately Jesus is the Son of God, but He's the firstborn. And later the Hebrew writer will say Jesus was not ashamed to call us brethren, that we're in the family of God through Him. And it's our intent to be like Christ, who His very purpose and His passion was to do the will of the Father. And to be a child and placed in that remarkable position with full rights and privileges as a child of His. I want to please Him. I want to please Him. I believe the problems that I have may be the same that you have. And that is when we tend to forget about what God has done for us and that we can become a child. We don't recognize the joy that He intended for us to have by placing us in His family. And so what we do is we're missing out on the joy because we forget about the privileges that we have being in the family of God. We don't have the assurance that God intended for us to have. Have you ever tried to get in a boat right next to a dock or maybe stand on land? I'd rather be on the dock than I had land. But take, you know, eventually you got to put one leg in first, don't you? What happens if the boat moves and you find yourself one leg on the land, one leg in the boat? And you just, you know, you have no real assurance about what's next. That's kind of what we do as believers. We got one foot in the world, one foot in God's path for us to come to Him. And that assurance is not in our life. Romans chapter 8, I think that's exactly what Paul wanted these believers to remember and recall the importance of this special relationship that they had. In verse 14, in chapter 8, he says, "For as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together." Look at verse 23. "Not only that, but what we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." That's when all full rights of the privilege of being a child of God will be accomplished. It's when we recognize, you know, the Jews thought they were sons of God because the promised land belonged to them. But God's plan in the beginning was to never focus on that promised land. His focus was to focus on the promised land that is God's eternal kingdom. And that's when full adoption will be accomplished and full redemption will be accomplished is when we go home to be with the Father forever. Did you notice there where he says that the Spirit of God bears witness with us that we are what? That we are children of God. When we talk about Paul's warning and admonition not to do not quench the Spirit, we talk about that like we forget God's Word. If we quench the Spirit, we forget the joy of being a child of God. The blessings that we have today, the blessings that are eternal. Our hope takes a hit. Our assurance takes a hit. Our joy. Our rejoicing. It takes a hit. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 3, said, "Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So if you're an heir of what? What is it that God has promised you because you are a child? Promised you a life of closeness with Him. He's promised you a relationship that is like no other relationship. He has promised to love you above all else. He's given you something to build your hope. And that hope takes you into every new day. And that hope takes you into every new path. And that hope takes you and leads you to where you'll find your way to Him. What you'll find is a place of joy. In this life now, but a hope in the life to come. Are you a child of God? I would tell you it's God's purpose that you might be. It's God's plan that you might be. That's why when the time was right, He sent forth His Son. That's why the time was right, He brought redemption to man. And when the time is right, He opened the door to where you can be a new creature in Him, born again. I would tell you that the last thing I ever thought would happen on Thursday morning was getting that call that, you know, parents tend to dread. And that is when their child who's at home wakes you up from a night's sleep and tells you, I need you. You know, when you empty the kids out of your house, you don't expect to get that phone call. But at 3:30 in the morning, we got that call saying we're having a baby. That's a different kind of call. And it was pretty neat because, you know, this was a different call and where He didn't say, come get me out of jail. Because He ended it with, y'all can roll over and go back to sleep. Well, that wasn't fair, was it? That ain't happening. And so we didn't. We got up and we began making preparations. And I'll tell you, I struggled where it hit me about 5 before we pulled out. That I really need to call my mother. Now that almost seems cruel, doesn't it? To wake your mother up at 5 in the morning. But, it just so happens that I had lunch with her earlier Thursday. And the one thing that I assured about was, well, we got word from Daniel and Casey. And you know, the baby's due January the 8th, 9th, somewhere around in there. But if the baby don't come, then drop dead date's January 15th. They're going to induce and we're going to have a granddaughter January 15th. So we had a time factor now. So I just told her that. And then she told me something that I should have known, but I had paid attention. She said, you know, I've been able to be at every grand and every great birth. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So I'm thinking, do I let her sleep or do I wake her up? Do I let her get a head start? Because we've already had our experiences about the uncertainty of birth, and it's one of our favorite family folklores. So I debated about it. Now here's what makes it worse, is the kids let her know. She's going to be Kate. Kate. Kate Davis. Well, that's Mama's name. And the second thing is, unbelievably, it's Mama's birthday. So do I call or do I let her sleep? And I called. 5 in the morning, I called. And when I called, of course she didn't answer the phone. Didn't expect her to. I left a message. Guess what we got for your birthday? We're headed down. So if you want to come, you come, you can be there. Well, she laughed later that morning. She said, you know, I heard the phone ring. She's got one of them old cheap little old phone recorders. And she said, I got up and I went to that thing and I looked at it and it said, Brad Tucker. And I said, I don't know a Brad Tucker. So she went back to bed. So it was actually my sister that woke her up and brought her on down. And someone announced when we were all together, as Kate was being born, they said, well, what we know about today is that Marissa won't be the favorite child anymore. I'm not telling you anything. But you know, when you got a granny, everybody's the favorite, right? Don't let this day end. Don't let this month end. Don't let this year end. And forget that you are God's favorite. God intended for you to have assurance in your life today. God intended for you to have joy in your life today. God intended for you to have a relationship with Him like and above any father you've ever imagined. Before you were created, before this world was created, He planned to adopt you and bring you into a place where He abides. And so He encourages us to be born again. He encourages us to abide in Christ. He encourages us to live for Him. He encourages us to overcome all the uncertainty footing we may have and stand on His promises and long eagerly for Jesus to come so that our hope might become sight and heaven might begin with us honoring and praising Him. If you're in sin, don't stay. Come, through Jesus Christ, be saved. And if we can help you do that now, won't you come? As we stand and sing with John.